Hello and welcome. You are tuned in to Let's Talk Health with Dr. Mike. And this is yours truly, Michael Wolfeld, staff naturopath. And as you probably figured out, this call is recorded. It's not live. And hopefully our fine friend Joel Calandrillo said hello to you before the recording started. And tonight, we are going to continue with the idea and the concept of how to make Purium superfoods more powerful, part two. Now, everyone obviously would really like to get the most out of not only the products that they're taking from Purium, but I'm sure we'd all like to get the most out of everything that we are consuming in terms of food, even the water we drink, even the air we breathe. So that's what we're going to talk about further today. Now, I'd like to start off by sharing with you a wonderful quote. And this quote was by Mahatma Gandhi, who was the preeminent leader of the Indian nationalism movement back in the late 1940s, who employed 100% nonviolent civil disobedience that helped win India's freedom from the British government without firing one bullet. And the quote is, "Be the change that you wish to see in the world." Think about it. Be the change that you wish to see in the world. So in other words, most of us spend a lot of time, including myself, and we talk about such things as, well, gosh, you know, if the government were just a little bit, but the government were a lot better. If we didn't have so much pollution. You know, I mean, on and on. And there's no doubt there's real problems in the world. Lots of real problems. But what this quote points out is that the best thing that we can do is to be an example. And this really goes for the whole concept of what network marketing is about. Because you've probably heard it time and time again, and this call is not about sales and marketing, but it's just, it goes along with what we're talking about. The saying goes, you need to be the product of the product. Well, really when it comes right down to it, that should be the rule of life for all things. In other words, if we're dealing with somebody that is constantly angry, who's always yelling, the best approach is not to yell back at them, because that only gets them more crazy. But if you stay calm and give out love and peace, in time, it will start to register. And it's the same way whether you're sharing a product or you're sharing an idea. If you can be 100% behind that which you are actually talking about and doing, it goes from just an idea to being very powerful, incredibly powerful. So today, and in this call, we're going to be talking about some ideas that help us do just that. Now, one of the things that really holds most of us back is we get very confused in terms of who we are. You know, what are we doing? And there's an interesting story that I'd like to share with you that I think says a lot. This is back in the 1940s, before most of us were around, And there was an author, a French author, I can't remember his name, but he wrote a rather famous short story, little booklet called The Prince. And maybe some of you have even familiar with it. I think I read it years ago. And it became very popular. Well, he was a pilot in World War II and had some interesting experiences. And one experience that he had encouraged him to write a second little book that didn't become nearly as popular as The Prince. The Prince became very, very popular. I think it was even a million seller. And the second book was just called The Smile. And The Smile was based on an experience that he actually had. And what happened to this man? He was flying missions over Europe, and he was shot down, and he was captured by the enemy. I think it was the Germans. And he was jailed. And one thing he realized very quickly is that what was going on is that most of these prisoners of war people were actually being executed. And he figured that he was probably going to get executed the next day. And so he was obviously not real happy and, was concerned, and he has a family and some kids and so on and so forth. And so he was fumbling in his pocket for anything, and because they had taken everything from him, and he found a half-lit cigarette. And he looked further and tried to find a match, and there were no matches. And there was a guard about 20 feet away, and so he walks up to the bars on the cell, and he motioned to the guard about the cigarette, and said, "Do you have a match?" And I think I believe he said it to him, and tried to say it in whatever German he knew. He was French, and the guard slowly got up and came over and lit his cigarette for him. And all this pilot did was look back at the guard and smiled at him. And he wasn't even aware that he was smiling at him. He was just very pleased, obviously. And he looked right in his eyes. And the guard actually was looking back at him. At first he wouldn't look him in the eyes, but then he actually looked him in the eyes. And he noticed that a smile broke on the guard's mouth also. And they stood there, actually smiling at each other, for probably 30 seconds. And they actually got into a conversation, because the guard actually knew some French, and he knew some German, so they ended up talking about, and the pilot asked him about his family, and, the guard had a family with some kids, and, of course, the guard then asked the pilot, the French author, about his family, and he noticed that there were tears in his eyes. The pilot had tears in his eyes, talking about his family that he wasn't ever going to see again. And he said that, I'm very sad because I know I'm not going to see my family anymore. And he said he just kept looking in the guard's eyes. And the guard started tearing up also. And they just stood there and looked at each other. And after about a minute or two, the guard actually took his key. He unlocked the cell. And he led the man out through a long corridor, through a tunnel, opened the door, and let him go free. And then he walked back to his post. And if it weren't for the fact that that man had written that book called The Smile, no one would even know about this incident. Now, you might say, that's a really nice story, but what does that have to do with getting the most out of Purim's products? It has a lot to do. Because what these two people achieved was actually getting in touch with who they really were. Their true nature, their souls, you might want to say. And in other words, they both became very calm, very peaceful, and obviously they ended up sharing love between the two of them. That's what it's about. You see, we are constantly bombarded with electromagnetics because of computers, cell phones, microwave ovens, whether we have one or not. I hope no one here has one or uses it for anything besides warming up a hot water bottle to put on your shoulder. But, I mean, we are constantly being bombarded with these kinds of radioactive waves. And that doesn't even include the radio signals that are passing through the ether that you pick up on your car radio or your home radio, or the television signals that you pick up through your dish that's sitting on top of your house, or the antenna if you still have an old system like that. Or obviously, if you have some type of cable thing, then you're back to the same technology of the Internet. And so the point is just that alone tells us that we are being bombarded. Now, on top of that, many of us spend way more time than we'd like to in automobiles going back and forth, not only commuting to work, but just taking kids to school and doing errands and so on and so forth. Automobiles have become less than user-friendly in terms of healthy because we have demanded more and more technology. We now have gazillion amounts of hybrid vehicles with all sorts of battery power. Now, sure, we might be saving some gas, but we're subjecting ourselves to more of this type of electrical radiation and pollution that our body was never intended to contend with. So much for hybrid technology. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's another factor. All of these things weigh heavily on our body system. Not just our mental awareness. Okay, there's no doubt about the fact that we know when we feel stressed. But this has a direct impact on our physical metabolism, how we assimilate, how our circulatory and elimination systems work. Many of you have probably experienced a very common phenomenon of becoming constipated when you're under stress. I know my wife and I have experienced that. It's very common that, you know, even if you have regular bowel movements all the time, you have a very stressful period of time where you're dealing with difficult situations or people or whatever, and you will often find that you're not having very easy or comfortable eliminations, that you get constipated. That's a direct impact of how the body responds physically to a particular type of situation. So this kind of thing's happening all the time. So what we're really trying to accomplish is learn behavior that facilitates our ability to get not only more out of our nutrition, but more out of life in general. So I want to read to you a little short blurb that I think you'll find interesting. And I'm not saying everyone should start doing this immediately, but it might be a good idea. This was written by a lady, an author by the name of Anne Stein, and she's the author of 9 books, including Listening Below the Noise, and she documents her experiences with what's called quietude. Now, she starts off by saying, in a stressed-out world filled with 24/7 bad news, this author has discovered the key to calm and bliss. On the first and third Mondays of each month, she practices silence. No talking to her husband, her publisher, or her two grown children. No chatting with the occasional house guest, the repairman, or neighbors. No one, not any individual. On silent days, I try to have nothing on the calendar, she says, explains from her home in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Sometimes I'll be traveling for a book tour, but the silence is still with me. I can't be complaining and grumbling if a flight's delayed. I don't get involved in all the hassle. The result, the days are peaceful, and I release all my stress. She began her silent Mondays 16 years ago after walking on the beach to contemplate her sadness about a friend's mother dying. The former reporter and radio broadcaster wasn't particularly religious and wasn't the quiet type, but she heard the words in her head, "Sit in silence." The decidedly unflaky author announced to her husband she'd spend the next day not talking. Since then, she has eliminated email, radio, and television from her silent days. My single determination when I began was not to speak, but the more comfortable I became with silence, the more I thirsted for it, and the sounds I'd accepted unquestionably became noise. She quit using TV for mindless background and stopped switching on the car radio. I felt really like driving without the distraction, she says. So what's it like being unplugged twice a month from our 24-hour crazy world? I feel like I've been to the spa for each day of silent retreat. I have so much more energy and everything works better. She has also become a better listener, is calmer, and has learned what's truly important. We live in a culture where we think everything has to be done now, that we have to respond to every email and phone call immediately. She says, what I've discovered is much of what we think is urgent can wait a day or two. She says her silent days have formed a buffer from today's constant onslaught of dire information. Look, all that bad news will be there tomorrow, and so much of that news engenders fear. Just being away from it for a day helps us regain our own reality. Think about it. Now, I gave you a quote at the beginning from Mahatma Gandhi. One of the things that Mahatma Gandhi started doing many years after he had become a leader was taking one day off of silence each week. And he says, years ago, I started my weekly observance of a day of silence as a means for gaining time to look after all my correspondence. But now, those 24 hours have become a vital spiritual need. A periodical decree of silence is not a torture, but a blessing. So I hope you'll all at least take this to heart. You may not be able to take a whole day of silence off. Maybe you can take half a day. Maybe you can start with just a few hours. Whatever. It's called becoming more conscious, more aware of what we're actually doing. And you will find that as you slow down and unplug, that alone is going to release energy that you thought was long gone. And when you actually consume a superfood, like our love drink, and you have it in a slow, grateful attitude of mind, you will be absolutely blown away at how that makes you feel. And contrast that to just gulping it down and see for yourself what the difference is. Many people just gulp these things down in the middle of driving their car or if they're sitting at the desk at the computer, you know, and and they think they're getting good nutrition. And they're certainly doing better for their bodies than if they drank a McDonald's milkshake. I'll be the first to admit that. But why waste it? You know, the example and the analogy that you can give to this is, once again, I love, you know, relating our bodies to an automobile. Because you can go out and buy the absolute freshest, most powerful, cleanest gas and put the best additive in that increases your horsepower by 15%. You know, will give you better mileage and all. But you didn't bother to clean the spark plugs. Now, if you took the spark plugs out and cleaned them first or replaced them, you're going to get a lot more out of that fuel. I think everyone recognizes that. I don't think there's anyone here, even if you don't drive a car, who cannot relate to that analogy and that example. And it's the same exact thing with our bodies. Our bodies are designed to get the most out of everything when we are in a calm state. Now, another example of this are long-distance runners, people who do marathons and triathlons and things like this. Obviously, they get dehydrated, and most of them have learned that they have to, you know, they have to drink. And so they will sip water. They will not go drink lots of water because they know that that's going to cause cramping. And many smart people, smart runners and athletes, have discovered that doing things like Gatorade is really stupid because it dehydrates and it's providing fake energy. And many long-distance runners have found that sipping like our Kamut blend while they're running, just small sips of that, is amazing because while they're running, all of the energy is going into the limbs, you know, and the brain. In other words, and the heart. I mean, that's what's working. So the stomach is not getting much at all. And so when you put a small amount of something like the green juice in your stomach, at least the body is going to be able to absorb those nutrients because it's really in a pre-digested form. It's just the juice extract, the essence of the plant. Whereas if you tried to chew the grass to get the juice out, you could do that, but the amount of energy you would have to use up in the chewing process would be counterproductive to your running. But it just indicates the real science of how all of this works. And so I truly hope that this is starting to make sense to you. Because we've had many talks where we have discussed the idea of, you know, stress and how it deals and how it affects the body. But what I'm trying to help in this particular call is just to give some specific ideas and techniques. And the reason I told you the story about the French author is because in order for the two of them to be able to connect, they have to go beyond their ego natures. The one ego nature was one of a pilot who was also a writer, and the other ego nature was one who was a guard and was paid to keep an eye on things. But that's not who either one of them really were. They were pure souls. And when they connected on that level, a tremendous peace and even joy started to show in both of them. And that's what brought his freedom. And so these thoughts are not just ideas. These are powerful, but they're only powerful if you apply them. And I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. The saying, knowledge is power, is useless. Because, once again going back to the automobile, you can have a tank full of the finest gasoline, but if you don't turn the key on, the gas is just sitting there. So applied knowledge is what's powerful. Applied gasoline becomes useful and powerful. Same thing. So we have to utilize the ideas that we get. When you get and you hear something or you read something that really resonates with you, write it on a little 3x5 card or something. You know, put it somewhere where you see it every day so that you can remind yourself, this is what I want to practice this. I want to do this. And then it becomes a whole different thing. Because then, when you decide to undertake and do our transformation 10-day cleanse, maybe the first time or again, you approach it with this mindset, and you're going to find a whole different result. And you're going to find that each day becomes quite different and unique than what you ever thought possible, if you truly follow through and try and apply these things. Try and apply calmness and try to find some time each week or every day where you can spend some time just being quiet and silent. It's very powerful. So with this in mind, I would like to just remind everyone that if you're going to spend your hard-earned money and you're going to do things like take our products, like go to a gym, you know, like go to a spa, whatever you're going to do, keep in mind that the more receptive you are to the process and to what you're doing, the more you'll get out of it. It's very, very powerful. Now on this line, I thought I'd just share with you an interesting quote from I think I still have it here somewhere. I don't know where it is. Well, I don't have it. But anyhow, a nutritionist went on to say that it might be an idea to take thousands of milligrams of ascorbic acid and vitamin E and other nutrients because it looks good. However, it's a whole nother matter in terms of what it does once it gets into us. Of course, and we've talked about this many, many times, that we have the most expensive urine in the world because this stuff just passes right through us. But you see, this goes along with the same concept. This idea that we let our mind dictate what we're doing rather than actually paying attention to what's going on. So friends, I know there's been a lot of information here, and I hope it's been practical, and I appreciate your understanding while we have been away on vacation. We have been at our church convocation. And I look forward to being back with you. And I will be available again by phone starting this coming Monday. So please feel free and call. And we will be talking about some other topics that have been requested, one of which is dealing with things like dementia and Alzheimer's. We're going to be talking about that, and we're also going to be talking another call about people who experience a lot of dysfunction with libidos and sexual function and things like that. So it's been a pleasure being with you. Take good care. God bless. And bye for now.